podcast. Fucking fuck you, Turkey, goddamn son of a bitch. Fucking all shame, all broken and in pieces. Jesus Christ. I can't stand it. There. Fucking microphone's back in place. Fucking stealing my podcast. Fucking putting women on it. Goddamn singing and carrying on it. Idiots. Idiots. The podcast is coming back. And it's coming back today.
So, Trekkie, about that last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you and Khan.
What's the problem with it?
I have to ask.
Go ahead.
What the hell were you thinking?
What? What the fuck?
As the listeners leave Podcast X in droves.
Excuse me, well, you're a doofus. Number one, you're a doofus for inviting me back. What are you, a masochist? Number two, that was supposed to go on my blog, remember? But somebody convinced me it might be a better one-shot on Podcast X. Hey, let's fuck with the audience. You know, it's, yeah. Let's confuse them a little bit.
Well, it worked, didn't it? It did confuse them.
It confused them and also apparently pissed them off. So, do you hate your audience?
Just a little. But not you, Courtney. You're my girl. The rest of you, though. Mm-hmm. So, I will make you spit out your coffee yet.
Well, once again, Trenchcoat, you've managed to keep me
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah.
Keep
yeah.
Me up. Well, my bedtime.
It's true. It's 10:56 Philadelphia time as we record this. Oh, by the way, this is Podcast X, episode 72. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia.
Yeah, MC with,
and you're not going to do up by the power of Podon. You're somebody else.
I don't even
like
know.
Starhawk used to.
What?
Well, you've heard Starhawk.
Who's Starhawk?
He would say.
What?
You know, our friend who we will not use his real name. We will use his moniker Starhawk, who basically replaced you for a while.
Oh. You mean succeeded me?
Yes, I mean replaced you.
You mean succeeded me? That fellow? with all the with all the podonic and the boob counting and the that guy?
Yeah, and may I say, I'm looking at the cover of Batman 673. There are no boobs to count here.
Not a one.
I'm very disappointed.
This is definitely an MC Trekkie joint.
You would think at least Martha Wayne's Hooters would be, like, popping out of her dress as she's, like, lying here dead.
That is the most disgusting thing I've heard in the last 5 minutes.
Well, we do have a disgusting shot of, like, her naked foot. I mean, I don't need to see that because I'm not into feet. But, okay, here's what's cool. Your hero, alpha male, well, fake alpha male, Batman, is here again mourning the death of his parents, as he has hundreds of times before. We've seen this scene. In the reflection of the giant pool of blood in front of him.
On the cover,
That the Waynes have been murdered in.
Yeah.
The reflection in the blood shows what Batman truly is. A scared, sad little boy. Crying Calrissian tears.
That is... That, look.
By the way, see episode 14 for the explanation on Calrissian tears.
Batman, yes, Batman has, hurt, has turned his trauma into a... He's done a great thing for Gotham City, and I don't know why you keep fucking with Batman. He's a great character. And I don't get it. I mean, his parents are dead. Of course he's crying. Are you saying that Batman is a little boy inside? Is that what you're trying to imply?
Well, that's what the cover is telling us, is that...
I think that's what you're getting from the cover. You're doing one of your little artsy-fartsy, let's look beyond. I think let's look in a very simplistic Republican viewpoint. I think it's just Batman
yelling and carrying on. You're trying to co-opt the fact that I'm going to call Batman the perfect Republican hero, as I've said before.
Batman's a libertarian.
Well, that's just...
Because Gotham government's ineffective, so of course he doesn't believe in any government whatsoever.
There's really no such thing as a libertarian. Those are just Republicans who like to imagine that they're good people. But how do you... Come on, you know that's what the message we're meant to get from this cover.
Batman.
Is that...
Go ahead.
He's frozen. He's frozen at this moment. He's been frozen at this moment his entire life. This is where Batman is, 247. screaming in anguish over the death of his parents.
And
forever.
He's turned his hardship into something good for Gotham. And good for him. Because if it weren't for this happening, then Gotham would be full of rapists, murderers, killers. You know.
So what you're saying is you're happy the Waynes are dead. Because ultimately it was a good thing.
It was a necessary, yeah. It was necessary that they die.
For Gotham. Okay, Luthor. And here on page one, we've got Joe Chill, the guy who did kill Batman's parents.
Okay. Now what we're doing is help me out a little bit because you're the comics professional.
Hardly. Go ahead.
DC's been rebooted about 312 times by now, right? So we're on this.
Yes. Okay, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Does that even you, because you love DC, that does annoy you?
Oh, yeah. I'm about to ask you a question. Is that, okay, we're at the post-52 universe at this point, right?
This is quote-unquote New Earth.
Okay, but at some point there was some discussion on some of the bulletin boards that I peeked into to prepare for this that Joe Chill at one point may or may not have been the killer of Batman's parents. Like they pulled that out, and then they hinted that it was, maybe it wasn't, and they never answered it, and now he is again?
There have been so many retcons involving Batman's origin, it's not even funny. But yeah, they took away the whole Joe Chill thing, and that at one point, yeah, they said, oh, no, Batman will never know who murdered his parents. Why, who could it have been? It will remain forever a mystery. Yeah, that, of course, was retarded, so that had to go. That was all the way down there with Batman is an urban legend. No one knows for sure if he truly exists. That was even more retarded, so that also had to go. In fact, as I'm saying these things, I'm actually thinking maybe the 52 reboot was a good idea.
Okay, so all the retarded stuff happened like in the 90s?
A lot of it did, yeah.
It seems like comics were retarded in the 90s. This is why I don't know too much about the modern comics, because I gave up on them.
I don't blame you. And Dan DiDio seems to hate 90s comics as well, because one of the bright points was the comedic.
He's the editor-in-chief of DC?
Yes, our fans do know that, I'm sure. But yeah, as I've heard him called on other podcasts, Dan DiDildo really seems to hate 90s DC himself and seems to be like undoing even the good stuff about 90s DC. For example, the comedic Justice League, which almost everybody loved.
Yeah, I didn't mind that so much. You know,
Booster Gold, Blue Beetle, that was all good.
Yeah, Booster Gold's my line, by the way. As you know, I hate comedic. Because I can't stand Plastic Man. But Booster Gold is right there. Booster Gold defines. That's it. That's the line right there.
Do you know they're actually trying to make him into a semi-serious hero? He's like Rip Hunter's right-hand man that he travels through time, making the wrong things right.
That's
kind of like Quantum Leap.
That sucks.
Well, he does it in his own body, but still.
Who's doing that? Who's responsible for that? That sucks.
I think Jeff Johns is. I'll remind you of what I said off the air about 52, is that it was written by three good writers and Jeff Johns. Yeah. He's horrible. He really is bad. He has a following. People do like his stuff. I don't know why.
Well, how does it work in the offices these days? I mean, does someone in the central office come up with an idea and assign it to one of their hack writers? It's like, oh, this is our B idea. Let's give it to Jeff Johns. Or does this actually come from the
No. DC has Tony Bedard for that.
Jesus.
They actually have a dude they sort of use for all that, you know.
Okay.
But
so do these artists and writers just come up with these concepts? I want to turn Booster Gold into this Quantum Leap clone and please let me do it. I mean, is that how it works?
That sort of sounds like a Jeff Johns idea, so I'm not going to pin that one on editorial.
Okay.
I don't know. I can see where it could work. But I haven't read the book, so I can't vouch for it. I know there was an issue where he kept going back in time trying to stop Barbara Gordon from being shot and crippled. And Rip Hunter led him to believe he could stop that from happening. But of course, really he couldn't. And that was really ultimately Rip Hunter trying to teach him that there are some things that are meant to be.
Right, and the power of that issue is so strong that nobody can fuck with it.
I suppose. I don't know. I kind of like Barbara Gordon crippled, you know, because how fast can she wheel away from me if I'm trying to rape her?
Dude, we haven't even gotten past page one. We're already doing the rape.
Good for me. Okay, so what this is Batman is, to all appearances, recalling stuff that has happened involving Joe Chill while he's, undergoing his purification ritual in Nanda Parbat, which we saw in 52. We just didn't get specifics. But now we are getting a glimpse into what Bruce was experiencing during that ritual.
Do you want to explain to the fans why he's in this situation before you just tell the fans that he's recalling it? Do you want to tell them?
Oh yeah. You know what? I actually will. Okay. In the previous issue, even though everybody reads Batman, but yeah, in the previous issue, he had a heart attack and he's dying.
Well, the fake Batman actually shot him.
There's a bunch of fake Batman running around, and one of them did shoot him, which caused him to have a heart attack, because Batman is weak. Frank Castle wouldn't have had a heart attack at that moment.
I was wondering when you're going to pull that out.
I'm just saying, a true alpha male, a true manly man, would be they'd get shot and just keep going.
Yeah.
Well, you shoot Superman, he keeps going. What?
You're comparing. Never mind. Never mind. I've seen issue after issue with bullets just bouncing off Batman's chest with, when he wears this suit and that suit. I don't understand why. Never mind. So he has a heart attack in the previous issue. I just wanted that explained because that is critical to the argument that you and I are bound to have about this one.
You insist
that he's remembering, and I'm like, no way.
It is written that way, though.
All right, let's keep going.
Joe Chill, the killer of Batman's parents, is freaking out and he's spazzing out and he's all upset and paranoid and scared. And then we cut back to Batman, who is also spazzing out and being all horrified and scared, going through his ritual here.
Right.
He's, now he's imagining bats. Ooh, scary. Hey, by the way, the art in this is nice. Tony Daniels? Daniel?
I have no
problem. This?
I have no problem with the art. It's great.
He is a good art monkey. Oh, this is cool. And look at Bruce's face here. He's hanging in there. He's okay now. After 13 days of, isolation. Or he even says 13 days of silent isolation
in a cave.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing voices is normal. Hallucinations from the past are normal. Hallucinations. Notice he says hallucinations.
Well, yeah, because these events are not physically reoccurring. They're reoccurring in his brain.
Well, hallucinations aren't necessarily things that have happened, I mean, we keep coming back to this, and I'm going to keep coming back to this point. Besides, we don't even know where he is currently. He's having a heart attack, as was shown in the last issue. So now, during his heart attack, is he remembering his experience in Nandaparvac, where he remembered his experience killing Joe Chill? See what I mean?
Okay. I have your answer. Yes. This is a flashback within a flashback.
Correct. Okay, so we're talking about, as you know, when you make a carbon copy of a carbon copy, I'm just, just pointing out.
Well, actually, you just reminded me of an old issue of Captain America.
When I had sex with that girl in the office and we Xeroxed her ass and I tried to make more copies of it, just didn't come out.
Hey, remember the issue where She-Hulk got called on the carpet for Xeroxing her ass and she tried to deny it and the dude was like, Jen, it was a color copier. But, Captain America, there's this dude that the great Jack Kirby, praise be his name, created called Arnim Zola, who has a television monitor on his chest, and that's where the picture of his face is.
I remember that image.
Who can forget that image?
That's a great image, yeah.
And, that dude cloned the Red Skull, and he was explaining to the Red Skull clone, well, each time I make another copy, there's some loss of fidelity. Lest you think of yourself as the true Red Skull ever.
What a dickhead thing to do. I'm going to clone
you. Well, he's a villain.
I'm going to clone you. I'm going to make you evil. And then I'm going to tell you you're not as good you'll never be as good as the original.
Well, as we learned in the last issue of Why the Last Man, human cloning is not truly perfected until almost 80 years from now.
I'm not even going to discuss Why the Last Man.
Because you got to read. I want to make you read those. That last arc was terrific.
No, thank you. That's a plan of.
Okay, for anyone who doesn't have a closed mind, Why the Last Man issue 60? I know it's only February, comic book of the year.
That this is the planet of all women and no men, right?
No, you don't understand. Because up until now, there was only one monkey. Okay, wait, there was a female monkey at one point, but okay. This issue, a plethora of monkeys.
You're
making, it doesn't hurt. You're making, it does not. It doesn't hurt.
You're making fun of fucking Batman, and you're telling me that a whole plethora, whatever the hell a plethora is, I guess it's a big amount. You're kidding me.
Yeah. Monkeys.
Well, I wanted to get back to the point of the carbon copy of the carbon copy, because it gets to this point here about the carbon copy of hallucination, number one. Number two, think about Lex Luthor for a minute. If you, Lex Luthor, suppose you woke up and you told Lex Luthor, we woke him up and said, you know, dude, you're the eighth Lex Luthor. He wouldn't.
Oh, you know, it's funny you should have mentioned that. Because if I'm not mistaken, the current Lex Luthor is indeed in a cloned body.
I'd give up on DC.
Well, because here's what happened.
I'm out. This is Spider-Man clone.
Oh, God. Everyone hated that. But yeah.
No, go ahead.
The Lex Luthor, you know, who became president, him, he's a clone. The original Luthor died in like a plane crash or some bullshit. I don't know. They took his brain and put it into a cloned body. Now, Luthor was very happy because this cloned body, of course, had hair.
Yeah.
Which, of course, eventually he starts losing as a side effect of the cloning process.
Of course.
But while Luthor's brain in cloned Luthor's body had hair, he was able to seduce Supergirl.
Huh.
Yeah.
See, these are issues I would never read, so I count on you to tell me all this shit, because this is just
By the way, I read very few of these. You know why? Because it was in the 90s.
Well, I'll stick with the Batman stuff, and you have Starhawk for the Superman stuff, and between us, you know. And you can read all that long hair stuff that we don't understand.
Long hair. Yeah, Why the Last Man is really complicated. We really should review Supergirl someday. Again, I know we did before, but I don't like that one.
I'm going to really leave Starhawk to do Supergirl. I mean, that's his baby. That's his bailiwick. That's his thing. Let's, you know, to each his own.
Oh,
there's many boobs to count in Starhawk. I mean, see what I did? There's many boobs to count in Supergirl.
You just associate.
I do.
Yeah. Big boob super heroines. Yeah.
So, anyway, right. So here we are, and he's in a cave. He's hearing voices is normal. Hallucinations, flashing lights, and in.
Hey! The next page.
Yeah, go
ahead. I want to point out the title. Joe Chill in Hell.
Yes.
Not Batman's hallucination of Joe Chill.
This story represents Joe Chill in Hell. Yes, it does. The story.
And by the way, Morrison.
That.
Oh, written by Grant Morrison, by the way, the great Grant Morrison. He does give thanks to Bill Finger, which is very classy of him, because this is sort of based on, I think it's Batman issue 47, where the other criminals find out that Joe Chill, in effect, created the Batman.
And they go after him, right?
And they kill him or something.
That's
exactly something like that.
That's, yeah.
Well, sure. It's kind of like reminds me of M, the movie with Peter Lorre.
Yes.
I never should have said Peter Lorre. Okay, so here he is with his catchphrase in his cave. I'm Batman.
Now this is great.
I hate him so much.
This is early Batman. Look at the Batmobile with the huge frickin' chrome thing. And
that one's okay. I prefer the Batmobile with the giant bat head in the front, but this one's good.
Although he does have a big, if you notice, he has a big high def screen. So I'm not exactly sure that the age is matching.
Here's the thing.
Me. But go ahead.
Okay, I can sort of explain. Marvel and DC use a sliding time scale. Like, between the time in between the first appearance of Superman and now is probably, I don't know, 10 to 12 years. Same with Marvel, like the debut of the Fantastic Four and now is probably about 10 to 12 years also.
Right.
And it always is, no matter what year it is. It just stays that. Because otherwise these characters would get old, which I don't have a problem with, but of course they do, because then they would have to come up with new characters that can't be bothered.
I get it, but they did age the car, just for our benefit. I guess that's a wink to let us know that this is a flashback. Whatever.
I would think he would keep the old Batmobiles around. He doesn't strike me as someone who would throw anything out.
No, he keeps his penny, so yeah, okay.
I love the penny. but by the way, I think it was when Gotham City had the earthquake, and of course it affected the Batcave. The Batcave was sort of destroyed. Mm-hmm. The giant penny fell into Gotham Bay or something, and he had to get Aquaman to get it out. And Aquaman's like, I'm not doing this again.
It's okay, that's corny, but I accept it.
So anyway, fuck Aquaman.
So here he is.
What do you think of the new Aquaman?
I don't know too much about the new Aquaman. As a matter of fact, I know nothing about the new Aquaman.
I thought you read at least the first story.
It was forgettable if I did.
Ooh.
I guess he's okay. Sure, he's okay. That's my opinion.
Al. I predict the old Aquaman comes back if he isn't already back and we don't know about it.
Does he have a hook? Does he have a hook for a hand?
Well, no. That's the one good thing about the new Aquaman. He has two hands.
Okay.
Yeah. However, he has black eyes with no pupils. They're just black.
That's creepy. Is that an Atlantean thing? Or is that just...
I tried to read the origin of the new Aquaman on Wikipedia, and I got really confused.
Is he a clone too?
No, I think he's a reincarnation of the original Aquaman or something.
Reincarnation.
Whereas the dead Aquaman was walking around all deformed and freakishly octopus looking because of some power he used that he wasn't supposed to.
I actually would have liked to have seen that. I missed that.
Well, go back and I think 40 was the first new one.
Yeah, because I had checked out, as you know, after 52, I checked out of a lot of comics. And after Civil War, I checked out of Marvel. That's why I was off the air for a year, because there was nothing to review. So I don't know about all this stuff.
You know, anti-fanboy, they're barely reviewing comics at all now. They've retooled the show as a general geek show because they're like, well, comics suck now, so fuck them.
That's what it says on my blog. It's true.
What's that about the ham sandwich?
I don't know. Some idiot came up with that. So,
okay, because I came up with that, I'm not going to let that stand.
We're in the...
You know what? That's the only good part of your whole blog. Where is my ham sandwich? That is awesome.
I do believe Captain Kirk grimacing about how evil Podcast X is. I think that's also a good part of my blog. So Batman's in his cave, and this is Bruce Wayne going through the motions of becoming Batman, and we see the different portions of it. And it's neat that Alfred makes him take notes. That's cool. Alfred's basically helping turn him into this freakish character.
Now, here's the problem I have with that. Bruce is his employer. Alfred is basically giving him orders, as you say.
It is a little take. It's a different take on it, if you notice. That's why part of this, to me, is not as real as you think it is.
Oh, no, it is real.
There's lots of these little hints. I'm going to really mess with you this time. There's lots of little hints.
So you're not going to be serious.
I'm serious.
Would you agree that this story is presented as though it is entirely possible all these events happened?
Because Batman has...
I said possible.
If you were as smart as Batman, and neither of us are, we would have the most detailed, graphic, logical hallucinations of any man on Earth. Period. And it would all fit together nicely. Except for the Alfred part.
What you're saying is that Batman is so insane.
No. Batman's mind. To keep him alive, Batman's mind is entertaining him.
Hey, who would win in a fight, Batman or Iron Man?
I don't know. Iron Man. Can we move on now?
Probably, but here's the thing. Batman could call upon the rest of the Justice League.
Right, and Iron Man has pretty much fucked himself with any other superhero ever.
Wait, hold it. Here's why Iron Man would win.
Why?
Okay. Batman can call Superman and the rest of the League, but I'm sure Tony Stark can synthesize Kryptonite, first of all, and he would call upon the Mighty Avengers, his vanity team of Avengers, which includes Ares, the God of War, and... the Sentry, who has the power of 1,000 exploding suns.
I'll just fix this right now because we don't have a lot of time. I'll fix this right now. Okay. Captain Marvel, who I hate, versus the Sentry. That takes care of that. Then that leaves Superman free to take care of...
Well, Captain Marvel's not part of the League.
It doesn't matter.
In fact, Captain Marvel's not active anymore. Not Billy Batson.
Well, I don't care who's playing Captain Marvel. There's always...
Well, no one at the moment. Freddie Freeman is undergoing the trials of Shazam to attempt to take Billy's place.
So there's no Captain Marvel?
Not at the moment.
Oh, thank God.
But, by the way, at the same time, this hot chick is also undergoing the trials of Shazam in order to get, like, that power, but she's evil.
What does she say to summon the powers?
I'm sorry, but I do think she has to say Shazam. I know you hate the word Shazam, so.
They all have to say Shazam?
If you're going to call upon Shazam's power...
Did Mary Marvel also have to say Shazam?
Well, wait. Yeah, she did. You know what? Captain Marvel Jr.
had to say
did.
Captain Marvel. I know.
Yeah, okay. That's the exception.
I am embarrassed that I knew that.
You really should be ashamed.
I mean, don't they? I mean, when they're angry, don't they have to yell out PMS or something?
Ooh, hey, that's I like that. But no.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, by the way, I have no idea what's up with Mary Marvel. They're fucking with her character over in Countdown. I'm so proud of this. I have not read a single fucking issue of Countdown, nor do I intend to.
And you have successfully trashed that, so I haven't watched it, looked at it.
Okay, put it this way. Remember how I mentioned that Tony Bedard was basically like the go-to hack for DC?
Yeah. He's doing Countdown.
Yeah, I believe he's involved in Countdown, so that says it all.
Loser. Well, these are great illustrations here. I like the mentor-protege look here, looking at Alfred and Batman. That's really nice. This is great art, you called it. And then as Batman's swooping down, basically thinking to himself, no one's ever done what I'm doing before, he looks like a bat here. This is great art. And it might not happen again, so that's his sense of, you know. And then here's the art that we really thought was great. And I'll let you introduce this.
This is great. Okay, now we've seen this 100 times. Bruce staring at the portrait of his dead parents. And may I say, may they rot in hell. And
asshole.
He's got blood running down his face.
Dude, asshole.
He's got chipped and missing teeth that he's gritting as he stares with his one eye that has not been blackened at the portrait. And he's whispering, I'm so sorry. I don't know what more I can do.
Yeah, that's great. If that art
that almost makes me respect Batman.
Amen. Well, if that art hadn't been as good as it was, that wouldn't have worked. This had to work together. The writing had to work. It's just great.
I mean, I prefer generally like cartoony art, like the dude who used to draw Next Wave and now he draws Ultimate Spider-Man. But for this, for a character like Batman, you need something close to the standard superhero style, frankly.
You do, but look at his face. I mean, look, it's just great. And also, he's not only looking up at his parents, he's looking at the audience a little bit, too. Did you catch that?
Hmm. He knows we're here.
Well, yes and no.
Look, no, I know he doesn't really know it. Hey,
beat,
by the way.
I'm beat, folks. I'm beat. I'm tired. I'm beat. I'm doing what I can. Cut me a break. Please don't put me up against Iron Man. Stop fucking around with me. I'm Batman. Leave me alone. It's hard to be Batman. And I like that they're not called thought balloons, but it's important to keep a record. He's just thinking to himself this whole time.
Yeah, thought balloons have become passé.
They're not called that, but they're serving that purpose.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? He may as well have fucking thought balloons. The same thing.
Right.
By the way, you haven't read Mighty Avengers?
I believe they're called inner monologue boxes at this point.
Oh, they're captions. Stop. But yeah, Bendis is actually bringing back the thought balloon in that comic.
Oh, cool, man.
It's about time somebody did that.
Now, does he do it? Is he doing it good, or is it corny?
It's mostly good. Like Stark is talking about Captain America.
Gotcha.
And he says something about, and you know, now that Rogers isn't around, and Ms. Marvel is thinking, you're calling him Rogers now? But she doesn't say it.
Right. That's good. Because I think your point in an earlier podcast we made when we first started this thing was that comics were trying to be movies. I think I remember you saying that, and you were getting really pissed off.
Yeah, because comics shouldn't be like movies. They should be more like comics.
And yeah, and the cool thing about comics is you can actually read people's minds, which is you can't do that in any other medium without.
Well, you can,
but it takes a while.
Even in, well, on video and movies on TV, you can have people thinking to themselves, but it's always corny.
Yep.
Like, who was that horrible late night host that would go off the corner and think to himself?
And here,
Greg Kinnear.
Yeah, that.
What?
Look how long that lasted.
Well, exactly.
Well,
I wanted to say something about this panel.
Yeah, go ahead.
About him possibly looking at us, the readers. Morrison himself, in Animal Man, as Animal Man slowly became aware he was a comic book character.
Yeah.
He's talking about like horrible things he's seen. Like, I'm looking out, and I'm seeing a giant face. And he's like looking at the reader.
It's annoying. Funny, but annoying.
Oh, well, that was sort of the whole point of Animal Man, which, you know, his journey into realizing he was fictional.
I think there was a Star Trek, wasn't there a Star Trek with Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty, where Moriarty, like, knew he didn't exist and whatever else, and then later in the end of that episode.
Perhaps we are all just, yeah, that one.
Perhaps we're all a little box, like, look at, yeah, see, that shit's too precious, it's annoying.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ensign Barkley, in that one Moriarty episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is such a nebbish that even the chick Moriarty was fucking, who's not even real, was like putting them down. What the fuck, man? Poor Barkley.
He's just written that way. Well, no wonder he's didn't he take over the ship at one point and became omniscient and he like stole the ship, took it over, and all that.
Yeah, I vaguely recall that.
Yeah,
one.
See what happens. See what happens. All right. So,
in Countdown, they're giving Jimmy Olsen superpowers. Same thing.
What?
Fear me, I am Jimmy Olsen.
What, does he have a super watch?
No, actual powers. I don't know what's. I told you I'm not reading it.
What is it? But he's gay. Does that mean he butt fucks faster? What? Did 52 reboot Jimmy Olsen too? I guess it rebooted all of them, come to think of it. But I don't get it. But what's his powers?
I don't know. I don't know because I'm not reading it. Apparently, he has a whole bunch of different powers. He was even going to join the Justice League.
What?
Are you still going to defend your DC Universe?
Okay, that's gay. That makes no sense. What's his power that he can take photographs at the speed of?
He's able to actually shoot the freckles off of his face with great force.
Is he drawn the same way? Does he still?
Look? I made that part up.
Yeah, I know. Did you? Thank you. Does he still look the same?
I guess. I suppose.
What's wrong with that? Okay, wait. Okay, who's responsible for that, please?
Ultimately, your boy Paul Dini, if that's how you say his name.
No. Well, he's corny, but he knows where the line is. I mean, I guess I'll give it a try.
Well, maybe he did know where the line was.
Paul Dini of animated Batman fame? The guy
who
was
Yeah, him. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, it turns out you need a team. Bruce Timm without Paul Dini sucked, and Paul Dini without Bruce Timm apparently sucks too.
Paul Dini does have a team on Countdown, but unfortunately, it includes the likes of Tony Bedard.
that's going to be a curse word from now on.
We should send him a copy of this episode just to see how he reacts.
Yeah, something tells me he won't be too happy. All right, so we're on this next panel here, and now rather than have the what I call the thought captions, he's just talking.
Yeah, he's flashing back to his parents' death, and notice he has a he has the gun. Oh, there you go. Joe Chill dropped the gun when he ran away. I was going to say, how did he get a hold of that? But okay.
Well, the whole thing starts out where he says, you know, there's nothing left of my soul. It's a black hole where my heart should be. Like, more
grief. Oh, I like this dialogue here. On the next page, Joe Chill, as he's complaining to his lackeys. When I started out, there weren't none of your jokers and Two-Face and all that razzmatazz pajamas jazz. Crime didn't need the showbiz element. It wasn't a lifestyle choice, you know?
That was great. Crime wasn't a lifestyle choice. I think that's the first time I've ever seen that in print.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. Yeah, and he's speaking truth here about that the rich prey on the poor like vampires.
So he's really justifying the fact that he murdered the Waynes.
Successfully. He's saying, anything I ever did, I can justify as class warfare.
Now, I am going to say this. I'm going to say that I'm going to posit that Joe Chill maybe doesn't give a fuck about any of this, and this is Batman wishing that Joe Chill gave a fuck as part of his impersonation. Because Joe Chill, this is just too rich guy. What does he care? How does he
know?
Go ahead.
That's a tough call because nowhere does it say, as we're privy to Joe Chill's monologue here, without Batman being around, nowhere does this page indicate that this is Batman having a flashback? This could just be a legitimate flashback. After all, Batman wouldn't know what Joe Chill was saying when he's not around.
Well, that's part of it. Well, Batman does hang out. But that's part of it. But the other part of it is I still think that Joe Chill wouldn't give a fuck. These are just two rich people.
I think Grant Morrison is actually giving Joe Chill some depth here, which he's never had.
Interesting.
I like what he's done with him here.
I mean, I'm glad that it's happening. Because my inner core is not buying that this is actually reality, and yours is. I'm having a hard time navigating this podcast with you.
Given what Batman's going to be responsible for later, I would say that you don't want to believe this even could possibly be real.
Well, I'm looking for every hint.
Stop! You're not giving it. You're not being fair, then.
I'm being perfectly fair. I'm going to tell you right now that this is clearly a hallucination because I don't think that a real Joe Chill would give a goddamn about two people he killed 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago.
He doesn't. He just believes he was in the right.
Why would he even be talking about it? Why would he bring it up out of the blue?
Not out of the blue. Because here you go. What did I do that was so bad? He has to come here every night.
All right.
down in the street in the alley where Joe Chill killed those rich people.
Fair enough.
And now Batman keeps showing up there. He's freaking him out.
Fair enough.
Poor Joe Chill.
Fair enough. Again, I think this is still bat-centric, but I'll give it to you. Okay, you can move on.
You know what? I will. And, okay. This dude here with the blonde hair. Now, is this is Batman, right? In disguise? Because here we see, like, the latex mask with the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for Batman. I love that. Yeah. I love when Batman disguises himself, because he never does that anymore.
Yeah, that was a nice trick.
I miss Matches Malone. I know I'm the only one.
They should have, didn't they show him in the animated series?
They almost certainly did, yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I have to give it to that old cartoon. They really, like, had... They just used all the stuff that's cool about Batman and none of the corny stuff.
Yeah, it was the light touches that really made it. Yeah, so here he is, and basically he's playing the most punky of all of them, which is really funny. It's kind of ironic.
And now he's knocked out the other henchmen while Joe Chill was ranting to himself.
Right.
And you have in the darkness, the shadow knows.
See? Okay, wrong.
Well, that's pretty much what he's doing. That's what he's really doing here.
Of course that's what he's doing.
This is a young Batman. He hasn't been Batman long. We saw the car in the cave. Look at him smiling here. He's like upside down like a bat behind Joe Chill, and he's laughing maniacally. I like young Batman.
Uh-huh.
What? But this was how he was when he first appeared.
Okay.
In those early pre-Robin comics, he was a dark... In fact, he was a dark, murdering character. That's who he was. He killed bad guys.
Okay. I'm going to remind you that this is the post-52 reincarnation of Batman, so we don't know any of that. But
Well, that's true.
This is paying homage. They're basically just paying homage to the myth, but we don't know that Batman is really like this. We don't know how he is.
Well, we do, because we're seeing it.
Well, then we have to accept... Then you have to accept that Grant Morrison is creating a new myth.
Grant Morrison is giving the old myth some depth.
Okay.
Because this is actually – so this is really true to the pre-Robin Batman stories.
Which were fine. They were full of action and adventure. You mentioned Bill Finger earlier. So Bob Kane started the damn thing and
– not exactly.
Okay. Let's hear Bob Kane
and Bill Finger started the goddamn thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who as far as who created what specifically, they each really do have equal claim to have created Batman, but because Bob Kane's daddy was a lawyer, Bob Kane's daddy was able to cut like a great deal with DC that ultimately paid off very well for Bob Kane, and Bill Finger became a alcoholic and died.
Wow. So there's always, it seems like comics, that's funny about comics. Comics are tragedy, and then the comic writers and artists are tragic figures, and there's always a Stan Lee, and there's always a Jack Kirby, and there's always a...
Yeah, pretty much.
How sad. All right, let's keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
It's worth mentioning in the 80s, I think some DC editor lost his job for really pushing for Bill Finger to get proper credit for having co-created Batman. I mean, it really is tragic, actually.
That sucks. You think by the end.
However, Bill Finger did live to write at least one episode of the Batman Adam West TV show, so that's something.
No, it's not.
No, it really isn't. So, yeah, Batman's just fucking with him. He just shows up to laugh at him, and then he disappears again.
Holy ironies, Batman. So instead of – that sucks. Poor Bill Finger.
Oh, you're still on that. I thought you wanted to get past that.
Maybe he wrote it when he was drunk. Like, what do you think?
What, Batman?
Like, do you remember which – did he write the Egghead? Like, did he really – like the fucked up ones that made no sense at all?
Well, if we weren't trying to get through this comic, I would just look it up.
No, that's fine. I'm just curious. I thought you might know off the top of your head.
Oh, no. In fact, I don't think it was a great episode, or I would remember.
No, of course it's going to be a terrible episode, but I just
– Oh, well.
All right. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, creator's rights is a that's a big issue, even today. Okay, this is great here. Gotham's hoods never saw anything like me before. And then he goes, wait till they get a load of me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Whoop, whoop. That is what that caption made me think of. Sorry.
All right.
Hey, what do you think of the movies?
Which ones?
Because you're the biggest Batman fan there is.
Which there
all
so
of
many
them.
Now? I like the first.
Go ahead.
I like the first two. I think this third and fourth one weren't so good. And then the new one is not so bad. I thought it was a little over the top. I didn't understand why they changed Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul to Ra's al Ghul. They couldn't pronounce it. They changed it around. He's Liam Neeson. What the fuck? I mean, there was no need to do all that. But they made it more complicated than they should have. But it worked. They didn't need all that fancy monorail. Everybody's got to throw a monorail in at the end. They didn't need all that.
Did the Simpsons show up?
No, but it was funny. And the magical, lovely Negro in Morgan Freeman once again made an appearance. And I'm like, well, how many bat tanks are there in Gotham? And you sort of made me my bat tank, so I guess you kind of know who I am. So,
well, in that character, Lucius Fox, right? In defense of his movie incarnation,
yeah.
At least he didn't A, actually have magical powers, or B, teach anybody how to golf,
right? Or mop the floor.
Which one? That was which one was that? Somebody, Bruce Almighty.
I think he's either God or the president. Morgan Freeman is a God or the president or a chauffeur. What's up with that?
It's like I don't see how those three things go together.
You either have the highest job or the lowest job. You never see Morgan Freeman like playing an accountant. You know, these are necessary jobs, like a computer repairman. You know, some guy.
You know,
go ahead.
No, you reminded me of on Saturday Night Live when Toonses was driving Miss Daisy. They even gave him the little chauffeur's cap and everything.
Toonses, the cat that drives?
Yes, just not very well.
And he always drove him off the cliff?
I love that sketch. Anyway, okay, he's still...
So is Morgan Freeman in the new movie, the one that's coming out this...
I think he is.
Does he have magical powers in this one?
I don't think he does.
Can he bring back the guy that played the Joker? Because he's dead. He kicked the bucket. What's his name?
If I'm Heath Ledger, if I'm not mistaken, he did film all of his scenes, so we should be good to go.
Now, I'd be really interested in this because I think I read that Warner was going to like pimp the fuck out of Joker. So I'm going to be curious to see what they do in the next couple of months.
They should still do it. Fuck Heath Ledger.
What? He's dead.
Yeah, but
respect to the dead, would you?
No. In effect, he killed himself. He OD'd. He wasn't like shot or anything.
You know what's really – I think what's really ironic about all this is Nicholson says, I warned him. Now, how cool is that since they both played the Joker? It's like, okay, you know what? Playing the Joker will fuck with your head.
actually, you know, they're not telling us the truth. Yeah, I think he died of AIDS from those scenes they filmed in Brokeback Mountain, which were not, like, they were actually really fucking each other, though they'll never actually come out and say that.
That is just really nasty.
And also, yeah, the curse of the Joker. It fucks your head up playing the Joker, because Cesar Romero actually, in the movie at least, the 66 movie, he played the Joker with a mustache, with the clown makeup over the mustache.
That was funny. Also made no sense. But...
none whatsoever.
Cesar Romero. You're going to tell him to shave your mustache? No.
No, he's Cesar Romero. You don't fuck with him, man. Come on. In his own way, he's scarier than Jack Nicholson.
So in the next movie, are there two villains or just the one? Spoiler alert. Sorry.
You probably know more about this whole program is one big spoiler alert. You probably know more about the Bat movie upcoming than I do because I barely care. But I think it's just the Joker.
Okay.
Which is good.
And this is the first time we've seen the Joker, so it's all reboot. It's all right.
Oh yeah, can't possibly. Yeah, we're out of the Tim Burton verse.
Okay.
Okay. Now here's what everybody should think about the movies. The first movie was very good. The second movie was way better. It was sick, evil, twisted, depraved, and immoral.
You mean the ones with the little penguins on the rocket, the rockets with the penguins?
Oh, God damn, that was so good.
Good?
Oh,
penguins with
rockets. Awesome.
Penguins with best rockets.
Yes, yes. Give me more penguins with rockets. That's what I want.
I mean, I was hot for Catwoman, but who wasn't? But, I mean, penguins with rockets? No, they lost me.
No, yeah, no. He's the penguin!
Yeah, but...
it's Batman!
Yeah, but...
I loved it all. It was great. Even Batman 3 had its moments, even though it was a bad movie.
You mean the guy that played Iceman in Top Gun that was pretending to be Batman? That actor?
You hate Val... okay, let me get this straight. You hate Val Kilmer, but you like George Clooney.
I think I was ready for the George Clooney Batman. I was ready for a little light after three weird...
George Clooney, a.k.a. Adam West 2.0.
Correct. I was ready for that. And I think he could have pulled it off.
Whose bat suit had bat nipples.
Yeah, we already know about the nipples, but he didn't make those decisions. That was gay Joel Schumacher that made those decisions. You know what's really funny about Joel Schumacher? I think he was an interior designer. I think he was like a hairdresser, an interior designer, and then all of a sudden, like some producer and was like, oh, okay, you can be a producer too. Woohoo! And then he became a director, producer, whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. And everything he does has that signature, glowy, neon-y, shitty. The Batarangs. I think everything glowed in that movie. I think the Batarangs glowed, the Batmobile glowed.
And there was a Batman credit card.
I don't remember that. I remember the magical ice skates.
You know, back to Batman 3.
No. Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
Two-Face should have been called One-Face.
Because
there was no good in that character. He was Tommy Lee Jones was just playing a raving evil maniac. He wasn't Two-Face. Jim Carrey, although I hate him because he sucks, at least his Riddler was interesting. I liked that he was portrayed as a pathetic stalker who became more and more and more insane over the course of the movie.
Yeah, I think that Tommy Lee Jones was depicted badly. Yes, I agree. Yes, 100%.
And the worst thing about, because I will never say anything bad about Uma Thurman, the worst thing about 4, of course, besides Bane, was I am Mr. Freeze. Let me shovel some jewels into the oven. I mean, no, Mr. Freeze is not a big, hulking, muscular Nazi.
That was the strangest execution of Mr. Freeze I've ever seen. It was like, okay, let's throw some more shit on his face, and let's throw some more shit on his... I think Schwarzenegger had a heart attack during that movie. I'm pretty sure, and I think it's because of all the shit he had to walk around with every day.
He's
like carrying 150 pounds of stupidity.
Well, he's already carrying all that embarrassment. Or he should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, his wife Maria Shriver, so skinny. Yeah, it's very strange, all that.
Well, don't worry. He cheats on her, I'm sure. All right. Well, yeah, because he can. What? Okay, more flashbacks.
It's interesting that you mentioned Bane, because I think one of the Bat nemesis in... because I think Batman is being plagued by three
excuse me.
Three Batmen. I think one of the Batman nemesis, whatever, that's plaguing him during this period is taking the Bane
venom. Yeah, it's funny that the evil drug over in the DC universe is the name of a major villain in the Marvel universe. Hey, who's dead here? Who's on this page where Green Arrow and Superman and Barbara and Alfred are with this casket? Oh, I see. Now he's totally – oh, okay, because now he's totally, like, imagining shit.
Yeah.
Because, of course, these superheroes were not present at the funeral of little Kitty Bruce's parents.
Right.
And here we have one of the highlights of the comic. Batmite!
Yeah.
Come on. Be happy that Batmite's on panel.
I want Batman. I want Batman. Batmite gone. He's. What is the use? What is his point of him? Is he like the mutant Mitzoplik that sucks even worse than Mitzoplik does? I mean, what is the point of his character?
Actually, originally, yes, that's exactly what he was.
You know what? Crypto gone, right? Magical horse gone. All that shit gone. Batmite needs.
No,
to be gone.
Crypto. You know, crypto. No. You know, crypto's around.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Crypto's around. But...
Batmite. Batmite is actually serving a good purpose here.
He is going to be food for the bat for the Batcat?
No.
Because I know there's a Batcat somewhere.
No, Ace the Bat-Hound, who was Batman's pet, is not in this comic.
Oh, it's Super Kitty, I think I'm thinking of. I hate all this shit. I want this
stuff
gone.
Stop. So you're thinking of Streaky the Super Cat.
I want this shit gone. Get out. This sucks.
Silver Age Supergirl's pet, who was exposed to, I think, X-Kryptonite.
Squeaky? It was called Squeaky?
Streaky.
That's horrible.
And it gave Streaky superpowers.
That's stupid.
And then Streaky and the original Comet the Super Horse wound up joining the Legion of Super Pets.
All right, well, let's get off that for a minute. And I'm just trying to put Batmite where he belongs. In that class?
No. Grant Morrison has improved him here. Look at him. He's creepy.
The bats ain't got so bad when you get to know them. They could even be funny. Yeah.
And this is great, because he's telling Bruce as a child, the dark ain't so bad when you learn how to make friends with it.
Yeah, he's like whispering to him. Yeah, he's like the evil dude on your shoulder.
But he's not evil. He just represents madness.
Where does Batman?
And he's
forget it. Just never mind.
What?
I don't want to know.
Well, this may or may not have actually happened.
I don't even care. I was going
because
to ask
you know Batmite's back.
I was going to ask you where Batmite comes from, but I don't even care. I don't even want to know. I want him out of my Batworld. I want him out. I hate. He's just an interloper. He just doesn't make any sense.
You will accept Batmite.
He belongs in those fucked up cheesy cartoons in the 70s when they were feeding us all that crap because they thought any kind of violence would be bad for us, and he was a cute comic relief. No, he sucks, dude. He just sucks.
Okay, here's why he doesn't suck. Would you agree he's used well here?
That doesn't mean anything.
It means everything. It means that there's no bad characters. There's only bad creators.
Yeah, and bad creators create bad characters that are stuck in the universe that other
characters
good creators should get rid of.
Do you or do you not like Next Wave?
I like Next Wave, so.
Every single one of those characters before Next Wave was considered a jabroni.
Okay, you know what? You know where Batmite belongs? Next Wave. Thanks. You just made my point.
Actually, I would love to see a Next Wave with Batmite as part of the team.
As long as he gets killed in Next Wave, that's fine with me. I want him out of this comic.
And now you're killing him.
I want him out of this comic. He doesn't belong here.
What about fun? Why can't comics be fun or whimsical?
He doesn't belong
It's whimsical.
Here. No, he doesn't belong here. This is serious business. Well, look at the next panel. Look at the next panel. We've got this forbidding, creepy doctor image.
Oh, yeah, because Batman's remembering when he, and this is cool, mm-hmm. he had himself put in an isolation chamber for like 10 days at some point during his career just so he could go insane and understand how the Joker's mind works so that he could defeat the Joker.
So we have, in effect, three comas going on, ladies and gentlemen. Three comas. Just to extend my point a little bit, we've got three comas. We've got the first coma of the Parbat. No, we've got this first coma where Batman puts himself in an isolation tank. Then we've got the second coma of the Parbat. And then we've got the third coma because he's still having a heart attack. And he has brain function, but his heart stopped. So we have three... And you're telling me that the Joe Chill death could have still happened.
Yes!
I'm not buying it.
Batman would not waste time with nonsense.
This is a hallucination within a hallucination within a hallucination. It did not happen.
Okay. Grant Morrison is not telling a linear story here.
That's for sure.
In fact, here he's thinking, isolation chamber? No. This is the 30th day of Thogol, which is his purification ritual. Or is it the 27th? He's losing count of days. Yeah, here you go. Here you go. This is the scene. I brought your gun back, Joe. Batman is confronting Joe Chill, pointing this gun at him, which was Joe's gun that he used to kill the Waynes with. And he's telling Joe that the gun's got one bullet left. And now it's yours again. And Chill's freaking out. Why are you doing this to me? And he realizes, oh my God, you were the little boy in the alley.
And he says, I made you.
I made Batman. Now, why does Batman have to be like that? Like the Batman logo?
I think that sucked. That takes me right out of the story. Because just showing us a brand. It's like, look at the brand. Woohoo, brand. Like, no, we don't need to see that. I've seen that all over in comics lately.
See, here he's about to come out of his memories because we see in the, quote, present, some dude has those electro things that on TV they, like, punch your chest with, basically, and it shocks you and, like, revives you, whatever they're called.
You're really into death. I think the joke about that stuff is that hospitals, for real, don't ever really bring you back. And if they do bring you back, you're always in a coma and fucked up, and they shouldn't. I think on TV they bring you back like 90%, and the hospital is like 3% or something, 5%.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
However,
so don't go to the hospital because they'll kill you.
I was going to say, since the ongoing series is called Batman, I predict that Batman will be that this will work on him and bring him back.
And here's a point that you made previously, but I don't know if we made it in this podcast or not. As he's crying to himself here, Joe Chill, before you get to the very end, when he says he realizes he made Batman. And then he says to himself, they'll all kill me if they find out. You said that was a homage to the Bill Finger issue?
Yeah, apparently that's what happens in the original story that I never read, yeah. Which is what would happen. I mean, if criminals found out, sure. And this is, look at him, look at Batman.
Smiling.
Sweet, sweet dreams, Joe. I have no problem with this. Why is this incompatible with your idea of what the Batman would have been at this stage of his career?
This is a very passive, pussy way of dealing with the thing.
I couldn't disagree more. This is true justice. He's putting Joe in charge of his own fate.
It's such a vigilante thing to do because he knows that Joe's going to shoot himself.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't. If Joe Chill would man up and be strong... Okay, do you think the Kingpin would have killed himself?
Kingpin?
Marvel.
No. What? Wrong. What?
See?
No, but Batman doesn't have an enemy like that. Batman, he doesn't have an enemy. He doesn't have a Lex Luthor. He doesn't have an enemy like that. It doesn't work that way in Gotham. He should. Maybe Ra's al Ghul would be like that. No, Ra's al Ghul would not. Ra's al Ghul would man up and shoot Batman, but...
All right, you made my point.
But this Joe Chill is an intellectual... He's inferior. It's just... It doesn't seem... It just doesn't seem honorable. Doesn't seem in any sort of way that Batman would do this.
It is super honorable. I mean, Batman does not kill Joe Chill in cold blood.
Yes, he does. Just he does it. He does it by saying, "Hey, I didn't do it. I just left the gun there." Whatever.
Yes,
happened,
he gives him the gun and
Hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm the honorable Batman. Hey, I made the
well,
guy.
Well, yeah. Well,
I've been stalking the guy. I've been stalking the guy for a fucking month, and then I'm going to leave him with a loaded gun and then walk away and say whatever happens, happens. Bullshit. That's not honorable.
But it's Batman.
Batman would be pissed off. but he carries.
I would agree that I would agree. Superman would never do that. Superman wouldn't do this. But we're not talking about Superman. We're talking about Batman.
This better be Batman's fucking first case.
Maybe it was.
Dude, I ain't buying this, man. Unless
and this is good. On the 49th day of his ritual, look at the monk here, like, rolling the stone at the mouth of the cave away, like Batman is Jesus, and he really is going to emerge reborn.
Well, this is...
That's perfect.
This is where you and I diverge on this whole when do you become Batman thing. We spoke earlier off the podcast about how Batman becomes Batman once he realizes the little boy inside him. And I said to you, when he's able to move from the little boy motivating him, that's when he's Batman. And you and I have a completely different take on this.
But Batman is that little boy forever.
I disagree with that. I think that when he's – well, I don't think he's motivated constantly by that.
I refer you to the cover.
That is a cover drawn by a artist and influenced by a writer with a story to tell.
Yes, but that artist and this writer created this story post-52 where everything has been wiped clean and this story can now be told by them saying this is what happened now. Forget anything you read before. Go ahead, defend your universe again.
By the power of continuity, I call. I hate.
No,
that.
There is no more continuity.
I hate that Starhawk stuff. I can't even do it.
Now, just think, if you're a new reader, you never have to read anything that came out before, like Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, they're rebooting Star Trek too. It doesn't mean it's good to do it. Look,
Star Trek, there's really nothing.
Okay, I respectfully disagree with this particular.
Here's what I said off the air. Actually, what I did say was no, this all has to happen. This is the very beginning of Batman's journey.
That was your
the very beginning. And yes, at this point, he is still a little boy. He is still trapped in that moment of his parents' death.
Okay, that was your point.
The point of the purification ritual was for him to move forward. Was for him to let all of that paranoia and rage and some of the madness, because not all of it, because Batmite told him that some madness is necessary to be the Batman, to let it all go.
Did you just quote Batmite?
Batmite has wisdom. And he can finally be what he's been. But until this ritual, Bruce has only been pretending to be Batman. Now he can truly be what he always wanted to be, which is, again, why we have this blatant Jesus resurrection imagery right here.
But I'm going to say it again. Your viewpoint is in order to become Batman, he's got to go through the death of Joe Chill. What I'm saying is that
he has to confront the things in his past that he has suppressed and not wanted to own up to. Because the fact is, yes, he is responsible for Joe Chill's death.
What I'm saying is no. I'm saying that he's right up to the line, and as soon as he gets to the moment of Joe Chill, he's like, no, I will not answer to that little boy inside me. I will not take the pussy way out. I will bring Joe Chill to justice the proper way. And by making that choice, then I become the Batman.
What we actually see in the comic is Joe Chill having been driven to the brink of madness, fearing that the other criminals are going to kill him whenever they find out that he, in effect, created Batman. And here it is. Here's the full page panel with Batman, looming over him. Blam! There. The end of Joe Chill's story. Well, Batman.
Go
ahead.
Maybe shut the wall.
Well, don't be silly. So you know what? Stop it. So, Batman wakes up. He's all confused. So anyway, I'm sorry, but you have to admit, this story is written in such a way that it presents the death of Joe Chill as being
a complete hallucination.
Possibly, I'll ignore you because now you're see, there you go. Why can't you face that Batman did this?
I can't. It didn't happen.
You will be a little boy forever until you accept that your hero did this.
That is the most obnoxious, silly.
You need a purification. You need to seek Nanda Parbat.
You know what I mean? I need.
Don't worry. Don't worry. You don't find it. It finds you.
I need to seek a fucking.
Go to the Himalayas.
I need to seek a fucking.
Bring Renee Montoya with you. Go.
Bring the one woman who won't have sex with me? Forget it. And I need to buy a
Raper.
Fucking gun to shoot fucking Batmite in his fucking bullshit bat wisdom. And I want to smack the fuck out of Batman, wake him up, give him a nitro pill, and tell him, you know what? You were hallucinating. You were honorable.
Okay, you know what?
Never killed Joe Chill because you wouldn't do it. Nor would you
But he did.
Nor would you leave.
He did. Nor would you leave.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I'll see you in about 100 podcasts when they fix this mess.
They will never retcon this story. It's too good.
I dare not argue with Dr. Monkey Pants. However,
what was that George Takei's fluffer?
All right, let's go. Let's finish this up.
Here's what I want to say. Everybody out there should download this comic.
Buy it.
Download it.
Buy it.
Buy it if you're rich. Batman 673. Read it for yourself. You will see that, as always, I speak truly. Oh. And this scenario is presented as a strong possibility.
And incredibly,
that this is indeed what happened.
If Batman were to have a hallucination, this would be an excellent hallucination. And only Batman could have this sort of hallucination. Perfect! This hallucination is in character.
Well,
and I'm sticking to it.
It is not, nor has it ever been, a hallucination, to correct you. And Batman wakes up here. And, hey, remember we were talking about the other Batmen?
Yeah.
Here goes one of them.
The one who shot him in the issue we didn't see.
And yet he revived him.
Because he's fucking with him.
And he's in like, yeah, he revived him. And he's in like a dirty, filthy Seven the Movie looking Nine Inch Nails video looking like disgusting place. Kind of looks like the Murder Shack, actually, but still. Yeah. And how lucky do you feel right now, Batman, and to be continued and all that shit. This guy looks like Hordak from the cartoon with those red, like, eye goggle things.
Yeah, and the previous issue, they really made him freaking creepy and scary, and he took over catch that issue too. That's another good one. He like
yeah 672
took over the courthouse, beat the shit out of Commissioner Gordon. You know, this is a good series. I have to hand it to Morrison.
Are you gonna read the next issue?
Sure, why not? I gotta see how the hallucination ends.
Okay, there was never for God's sake, a flashback is not a hallucination. Anyway, yeah, they were talking about how like they did experiments on him and turned him into this whatever he is now and all that. All pretty. I also like the horns. He has like devil horns. This evil Batman.
Yeah, where they yeah.
And by the way, then we have on the bullpen bulletins ripoff page, we have Ambush Bug.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, we can. You know, you can always safely ignore this page.
Okay.
Because what the fuck? What the fuck am I looking at here?
And apparently, okay. next in Batman 674, Batman dies at dawn. Secrets of
Again.
His past are revealed.
Didn't he just die?
You see? Whatever.
Man, he's dying all the time. I mean, I hate the DC. It is so unlike the superior Marvel universe.
You must be in heaven with Batman dying all over the place.
Hey, how do you like this Superman hype image here with like all these brainiac people and they're like going to Superman's brain?
Anything that messes with Superman gets a good belly laugh out of me, buddy.
Oh boy, you know. Oh, by the way, see, I don't know if you can make it out, but there's an image from Trials of Shazam. That's the evil chick like holding two little kids by a rope like over the edge of the roof of this building here. As Freddie Freeman is just nobly staring into the sky above, not doing anything to stop her. I hate collage type covers. I really do. Okay. And who scanned this?
Minute Men Zone on mine.
Yeah, me too. You know, this is a nice picture here. I like this. Scary robots.
This is like iRobot turned into whatever. Well, props to Minute Men Zone for making it possible for us to review this, even though we're not in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, because, you know, otherwise, and I'm going to cut to the cover here, we would have had to have paid $2.99.
Which I gladly would have.
Which I would not have. because with Pennsylvania sales tax, well, Pennsylvania and Philadelphia sales tax, $3.20 is too much to pay for any comic, no matter how good it is.
I respectfully disagree, and on that point...
We didn't rate it.
Okay. I'll give it a batarang. Since it's bat-related, you'll hate that. I'm going to give this story, despite the fact that I disagreed with it, I respectfully disagree with it. I think I said respectfully like 12 times. I'm going to give this thing 8 batarangs out of 10.
Oh, it's worth mentioning, this comic seems to have split fandom in half. Judging by DC's bulletin boards, about half of the fans accept this story as having happened, and the other half are like, no, we don't want to believe it.
No, it didn't. They didn't say we don't want to believe it. They say it didn't happen.
Because they don't want to believe it.
Because we're just as right as you are.
Just as what?
We're just as right as you are.
No, I'm clearly more right.
So how many batarangs do you give it there, Trench?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to give it batarangs. I give this comic...
Give it bat balls, then.
I wasn't even going to go that far back. I remember bat balls. No. I give this comic 8 dead Waynes.
That's disgusting.
I mean, we've got 2 dead Waynes on the cover.
That's disgusting.
And that image inspired me. I will give this 8 dead Waynes.
I'm surprised you didn't give it like 8 Martha Waynes dead naked foot or something.
I could have given it 8 bat mites.
What the fuck is wrong with you? What part of I need a big gun to shoot Batmite didn't you hear